I know how big I am by what discourages me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. I know how big I am by what discourages me. Now, I teach the idea there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. And I go to different groups all over the world, and I teach there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. And everyone says, hallelujah, how wonderful that is, what a great thing that is. And then they say, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. And I say, you can't say that. If you say let, that means it's not done in your consciousness. And let it begin with me, that means you haven't done it yet. You haven't put it into motion yet. And you see, when I see people on earth doing things which are destructive to themselves, it discourages me. Not terribly much, but it discourages me. And I think to myself, when will they learn the lesson? When will they learn the lesson? And our students, who are wonderful students, and they say, everything is God. God is everything. Everything is God. God is everything. God, and I am God, and everything is God. And then they say, God bless America, you know, instead of saying, I bless America. Now, it's true, we had to wake up to that with one of our baby students, one of our youngsters who was about 7 or 8. He says, hey, how come you're saying God bless America? I'm God, so I bless America. And I thought, wow, what a perception. What a wonderful awareness this youngster has. Now, ever since I heard that from this child, I thought to myself, where are we? Where are we? Are we so mature, so sophisticated that we cannot learn from a little child? As Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So we can learn from children, and we can learn from everybody. But the big thing is this. We can intellectually teach people what is beneficial for them. We can intellectually teach people the path to walk to get the results that they say they want. But until they have an emotional nirvana, until they have an emotional, I see, yes, 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 where it is made theirs, it will just remain an emotional, an intellectual awareness. And all of you know, you've all gone through intellectual awarenesses where you see, that's logical, that's reasonable, that's understandable. And then I come at you in the first course of the Art and Science of Wholeness, and I say, God is neither logical nor reasonable. God is not logic or reason. Now, why is God not logic or reason? Because there's no purpose behind anything that God does. Whatever God does is just because God wants to do it. It's a joy of it. Now, why do you get up in the morning at 2 seconds after 7 instead of 2 seconds before 7? It's totally unreasonable for you to do that. But that's what you want to do. You want 2 seconds more sleep, or 4 seconds more sleep. Now, that's not logical. You don't really get to sleep because you're wide awake thinking you want that more sleep. You know? And so you say to yourself, just a sec, you're lying through your nose. You don't mean just a sec. A sec is gone before you even finish saying just a sec. And so it is not true. Now you say, I'll be with you in just a few moments, you know, or I'll be with you shortly, meaning I won't be longly. I won't take a long time. I'll be a short time. Okay. Now, see, there we're a little more logical according to human standards, but every human being on the face of the earth is an absolute idiot. They say, I'll be with you in a sec. They all say it. We all do. I'll be with you in a sec. And it's lying. Or you just add a dash of this and a dash of that. What's a dash, you know? Or a pinch of this or a pinch of that, like the woman is cooking, you know, a pinch of salt and a pinch of and there are no such things as pinches. Of course, the cookbooks try to say that there are pinches, and that what it is a very tiny amount. But, you see, what is it that discourages us? Are we discouraged by big things or little things? Are we discouraged by people because they don't live up to what you expect them to live up to? And then you have to go back and ask yourself, are you living up to what you're expecting yourself to live up to? And you say, well, the Pope is a little different in this here. Jesus is a little different in this, you know, and somebody else. No, nobody's different. As long as you're living in a human body, as long as you're living a human life, you can live a divine life as a human. But as long as you're living a human life, then you're subject to the human things. Now, our Pope recently died. Good guy. And he never was really ill. He never really had any problems, but he pretended he did, so that the people would feel that he was, you know.
Ready to go.
No. This is over the time period. You know, so that people would feel he was human. Or not human, but that he did have a real human. Did Jesus suffer when the crown of thorns was put on his head? And if he didn't suffer, then why had the show? So, let's look at it from another point of view. Did Jesus suffer from the crown of thorns put on his head? When an actor plays the part of Jesus and has the crown of thorns put on their head, do you think that the thorns actually go into the actor's head? I mean, it would be great if it did, because then the actor would really put forth the proper expression, but he doesn't do that. So, why would Jesus have the pain? He either was a great actor, or he didn't have the thorns coming through on the inner side against his skull. And did Jesus have nails in his hands? Oh, big deal. My gosh, I thought you were, don't talk about that stuff. Yes, he did. Was he bleeding? Yes, he did. Did he have nails in his feet? Yeah. Did he stick a sword in his side? Yep. My goodness, sounds gruesome. No. It was a show. He had to put on that kind of a show for the next act. Ingeborg, what was the next act?
Resurrection.
The resurrection. To show that the last enemy man would overcome was death. Now, it's a show. Now, is there any logical stuff to that? Mm-hmm. There are billions of people on earth who don't believe it. Yeah. And how many believe it? Maybe about 100,000, and that's a lot. But you say there are 1 billion Catholics. They don't believe it. They don't believe it. If the 1 billion Catholics believed that Jesus died for their sins and that Jesus died so they would not have to die, that he would be the resurrection and the life, none of those Catholics would die, you know?
Exactly.
And if the Mormons believe that, and if the Jesuits believe that, the Jesuits are Catholics, of course, if Seventh-day Adventists believed it, if the Protestants, if the Lutherans and Methodists and Congregationals and Unity and God Unlimited, if everybody believed that, well, then what would happen? There'd be no death. There'd be life everlasting. Now, you see, we have not had a world in which life everlasting has existed in our awareness. And so we say, my God, would we be crowded, you know? Well, not necessarily. We could create a scenario in which that would happen, in which we wouldn't be crowded. Ellen, what is the Earth? And I mean something stupid, you know. It's just a ball planet hanging out there in space. Well, now, Ellen, what if we needed more room? You get inside and you blow up. No, you don't blow up the planet, but you blow into the planet so that the rubber expands and the planet gets bigger. Okay, now, just a few poofs in there would make the planet double the size. Well, then, double the size would be, it's not what you think it is. Double the size doesn't double the planet. It quadruples the planet, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
It quadruples it. So, you don't have to make it so big to make it big. And as it becomes bigger, it can have more people on it. And it can have all the things you want to have on it. And that's great. So, but if they keep getting born, and keep getting born, you know, by the billions and billions, well, then why not be like an amoeba, you know? And sprout little planets off to the side, you know? And have satellite planets. And the satellite planets would each be self-contained, just like the Earth is self-contained. My gosh, you can have all sorts of stories, you know? I mean, if your imagination is alive at all, you come up with all sorts of interesting ideas, you know. Right?
Yeah.
And what the heck, why not? You know what the Japanese are doing? The Japanese are a little short of land. So what they're doing is they're filling in the ocean. They got the mountains there, but they're filling in the ocean to making a great big landing strip out in the ocean, in the bay. The landing strip for these super jets is not on land, because that's pretty expensive land. And the land they have made is pretty expensive too, but it is off in the ocean. And many other things are being done like that. Hong Kong's doing things like that, and Shanghai, and other places. Very creative, very creative. And you see, they're investing in themselves. Now, how much water do we have on the face of the earth? A lot. How much of it is shallow? A lot. How much is deep? A lot. And so in the shallow areas, you could fill it in with a few mountains. But now look, just look at the stupidity of this. A volcano from the innards of the earth begins to bubble up and bubble up, and it begins to bubble up in a whole chain of mountains in the ocean. And then these mountains become called what? Hawaii. You know, the Hawaiian Islands. Now, they're not a lot of space, like Japan, they're not a lot of space, but they keep growing. They keep erupting, and more volcanic ash comes up and makes them bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and spreads it out. Well, in a million years or so, that will all be grown over too. And who knows, the Hawaiian Islands may be like North America, you know, or something like that. And maybe there'll be a few other places around the world where the volcano... Well, now, where are they getting all this land from? From the middle of the earth, huh? But if the middle of the earth is a great big hole, and there's another world down there, how interesting, you know? My goodness. So, I know how big I am by what discourages me. You see, when you know how big you are, and something comes along that rattles your cage, all you do is just imagine it done. Imagine it complete. Imagine it fulfilled. Now, you say, we had a problem this morning with some trash that we were looking for, and we didn't find it on the first go-around, so I had to help you find it on the second go-around. And many of you have a tendency not to listen. You hear, and then you say, oh yes, I know what you're talking about, and you don't know what I'm talking about. I don't mean there, I mean there, beyond your sight. Beyond the blue horizon. You see, you have to listen carefully, always. Now, when little children talk, and you learn to listen, you have tuned yourself in for one of the finest educations you could ever have. Because the little children, they don't stop with just a point. They sparkle out with a dozen, a million points. And they're thinking of so many things. And the thing about little children, which adults could learn, is little children like themselves, and they're content with themselves. They're perfectly content. Just like Rex. I take him for a walk, and he's perfectly content if he's on his leash, or if he's free, or if he's running around, or if he's playing games with me, or whatever he's doing, he's perfectly content. He comes up to me, wagging his tail after he didn't pay attention when I called him, and he says, "Don't we have fun? You know, isn't life one great and wonderful game?" Well, you got to admit it is, you know. But, you see, he's not tied up on rules, not problems and stuff, even though we want to train him. He's just having fun. He's just like a child. So think on these things. I know how big I am by what discourages me. And so, just remember, don't let anything discourage you. Always know who you are, be happy in who you are. But if you're going to play in a game, play by the rules, or else make your own game. Jesus wrote the scenario for his life, and the disciples weren't too happy to play that scenario, even though they knew the rules of the game when they entered in. You see? And they depended on Jesus for everything, for food, for housing, for clothing, for all the stuff, for education. And Jesus gave it all to them. But they didn't listen. They didn't listen because they had never heard anything like that before. They had never heard that they are the masters, that they are in charge. They've always heard that there's a God outside of them, and they always heard that the rules are outside of them. But Jesus said, "It is done unto you according to your belief. The rules are inside of you." And you see, even his school had a lot of toughies in it because they didn't listen. And they want to listen, don't they? Okay, have a lovely day. And know I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
And goodbye.